Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You heard right. The feeding of the 4,000. I'm sure most of you are familiar with this account from the Gospel, but I wonder if just a few of you heard that and wondered if I was reading right. It's the feeding of the 5,000, isn't it? Of course, it's both. But our three-year lectionary that we've been using at Emmanuel for a very many years, long before I ever came, that we used to use, that three-year lectionary doesn't have the account of the feeding of the 4,000 as one of our assigned scripture readings on Sunday mornings. It only has the account of the feeding of the 5,000. The historic lectionary that we've been using since December and will be using for at least the next couple of years has both the feeding of the 5,000 in the season of Lent and now the feeding of the 4,000 in this season of Trinity, and for good reason. They were two different miracles that Jesus performed, feeding the multitudes, two different occasions with two different purposes. We'll spend a few moments this morning comparing those miracles, the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding later of the 4,000. And as we do, it will become clearer to us what God's purpose is in setting this miracle before us today, the feeding of the 4,000. God sets this before us today to teach a simple but important truth. Jesus provides for his people. The feeding of the 5,000 happened first, about halfway through Jesus' earthly ministry. Like the feeding of the 4,000, it happened on the shores of the Sea of Galilee on one side of it. In the feeding of both the 5,000 and the 4,000, it was Jesus who saw that the crowds who had followed him all day and listened to his word all day and come both to hear him and to be healed by him, they were hungry. And it was his compassion that moved him on both occasions to provide for the people who had listened to him. In the feeding of the 5,000, it was 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. In the feeding of the 4,000, it was 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. In both cases, Jesus, in his state of humiliation, gave thanks to his Father for providing the food for them that day. But at the same time, Jesus didn't ask his Father for permission or power to perform the miracle. He displayed his almighty power as the Creator, the same Creator and Provider who put Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and provided food and all things for them and for all people. And by that almighty power, a few loaves of bread and a few fish multiplied in the hands of Jesus' disciples as they handed out these blessings of Jesus, this providence to the people, thousands and thousands of them on both occasions. That's what the miracles have in common. But there are differences too. In the feeding of the 5,000, the people had followed Jesus for that day. They had sought him out that morning, and he had preached to them and healed their sicknesses. But when the day's end came, they could have easily returned to their homes and to the nearby villages to get food for themselves, as Jesus' disciples suggested that they should, until Jesus decided to do that miracle for them. With the feeding of the 4,000, the people had gone out to a remote place to follow Jesus for 3 whole days. Some of them, Jesus said, had come a very long way. They had no food nearby. They were hungry, and they would have been in danger on their way home had Jesus not done this miracle for them. Those people went out to hear the word of God and didn't give a thought to bringing along provisions for the road, didn't give a thought to their physical needs. It was Jesus' word. That's what attracted them out to the desert. The other important difference between the two miracles is this. The 5,000, as we're told, especially in the Gospel of John, were superficial followers of Jesus. Not convinced about who he was, not sure they really wanted to hear his word, more interested in the signs that he could do, in the healings he could perform, in the multiplication of bread he might be able to do. John tells us in chapter 6 of his gospel that Jesus did this miracle, the feeding of the 5,000, as a sign to the people to encourage them that he who provided this bread from nowhere, bread from heaven for them, was the living bread who came down from heaven to be their Christ, to be their Savior, to feed their souls. They should look to him for that. They should look to him for more than just bread. But the 5,000, for the most part, weren't interested in soul care. In fact, after Jesus did that miracle and then the next day made it clear that he wasn't there to keep providing their physical needs miraculously every day, he hadn't come to be their bread king, most of the 5,000 left Jesus and didn't follow him anymore. But the 4,000 were different. They came along after Jesus had said all those things about himself as the bread of life. They followed Jesus because they were interested in more than bread. They followed Jesus because they did believe in him as the one sent from God to speak God's word, to care for their souls, to give them eternal life. Bread was not what their hearts were longing for. Jesus was what their hearts were longing for, and his word. And so when Jesus multiplied the loaves and the fish for them, it wasn't to encourage them to look to him as the Christ for their spiritual needs. It was because they had already recognized him as the one sent from God. And so Jesus wasn't about to let them go hungry. He wasn't about to send them away so that they could collapse or faint on their way home. Earlier in his ministry, Jesus had said, "Don't worry about what you are to eat or drink or wear. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." The 4,000 did that. They sought first God's kingdom and his righteousness by putting aside their need for bread so that they could hear the word of Jesus and cling to it. So now it was time for Jesus to fulfill his promise and provide all these things as well, the needs of their bodies. If you want to summarize the lessons Jesus taught with the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, you might put it this way. The feeding of the 5,000 works from the lesser to the greater. Don't just look to Jesus for bread. Look to him for your more important, your greater needs, the needs of your soul. The feeding of the 4,000 works from the greater to the lesser. You already look to Jesus to provide for your most important and your greatest needs, the forgiveness of your sins, eternal life in heaven. If he does that, you can certainly count on him also to care for you, to have compassion on you, to provide for your earthly needs. The care and the compassion and the providence that Jesus shows in our gospel for his followers, for those who cling to his word, reveal a God of love who has compassion on his whole creation, but has made a special commitment to those who believe in his Son, to those who are his children through faith in Christ Jesus. And why not? See what God will provide and has already provided. even after Adam and Eve broke that commandment not to eat from the tree, even after you have been born and lived as slaves to sin, to wickedness, to death, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6 today, then you didn't have any right or reason to look to God as gracious and compassionate, as your provider. But you had to look to him as your judge who punishes sinners and makes them receive the wages of sin, which is death, even eternal death. But even then, God had compassion on you who were his enemies and provided the sacrifice who received sin's wages for you, who reconciles you to God, so that in Christ Jesus and there alone, you have every reason to know God as the God of grace and favor, as the compassionate God who forgives sins through Christ Jesus, as the God who is your loving Father. Now, as Paul says later in the book of Romans, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not along with him graciously give us all things? That's what God teaches in this feeding of the 4,000, the greater to the lesser. If he was willing to give his son everything, he'll give the little things too, and everything that his children need in this life. You who already possess the treasure of the means of grace, the treasure of the gospel in word and sacrament, the treasure of being God's children, God looks on you with such compassion and commitment that he would have you trust in him always for all of your earthly needs, that he would have you trust that he would never think of defaulting on his promise to provide you with daily bread. There is no ceiling to the debt that God has indebted himself to for you. He's also concerned with your soul, with your eternal life. But if he's concerned with your soul and with your eternal life, then he would have you know and believe that he means to provide for your earthly life too, for your eternal life on this side of heaven. So look first to Christ to satisfy your spiritual needs. Cling to him and his word, and as you do, trust in him also to have compassion on you, to provide all the help that you need to get through this life. Whether it's by miracle or not, Jesus will always provide what you need if you look to him in faith and not to your reason and strength. You may not know how God can provide for you. If you don't have the job that you once had or the job you think you need, if you don't have the people in your life that you would so like to have that you so think you do need, God's commitment to you means that it will always be Jesus providing the people in your life to give you what he knows you need, whether it's counsel or help, money or food, encouragement or company. Sometimes it will be through believers who are offering that willing service to you and to God. Sometimes it will be through unbelievers, in spite of themselves, who don't believe in the Lord Jesus. No matter how he does it, God is always providing for his children and will always provide, always having compassion on his people, even miraculously, if that's what it takes. And that's faith. When you don't see how God could possibly sustain you, and yet to believe that he must do it somehow, some way, because this is the God he has revealed himself to be, and it's his promise to you in Christ Jesus. You're his people. We learn the lesson of faith from this feeding of the 4,000. We also learn the lesson of love. The love of Jesus as he looked out on these, his people who followed him. That's the love that God calls on you, his people, to have as you look at one another, at your brothers and sisters in Christ, at this family of believers. Yes, show mercy, show love, show compassion and help to all people, just as God shows mercy to all people, but especially to one another, to the people of God, to your fellow believers, to show a special compassion and readiness to help one another, whether here in our church or maybe through our synod, the other churches around the world. Jesus said to his disciples on the night he was betrayed, "Love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Learn that kind of love from Jesus in today's gospel, who looked out at the 4,000 men plus women and children, all of whom had come to offer him nothing, who could offer him nothing and give him nothing. They came only to receive from him. Those were the people Jesus was so eager to look at with compassion and help. People just like you, who have nothing to offer Jesus, nothing to give to Jesus. You have not come here this morning to give him anything. You've come to receive. To receive his forgiveness of sins, to receive his word of life, because you know him as the Christ, because you know him as your Savior. He doesn't need your compassion or your service, but as we've been seeing, especially over the last several weeks in our Gospels, your neighbor does. Your neighbor needs your compassion and your service, but especially your family of believers. Your brothers and sisters in Christ need your compassion and your service. Your family of believers needs your kind words, your patience, your obedience, your Christian example, your interest, your concern, your loving rebuke, your forgiveness, your time, and maybe even your bread. Jesus will take the little that you have and multiply it as much as necessary in order to provide for his people. He has already provided you with all that you need, even the forgiveness of sins. May he also, through you, continue to provide for his people, for the rest of his family of believers. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand.